to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, healing God. Celebrate with your neighbor that guess what? I'm healed. I'm every whit whole. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's stay at this place of worship because He is the King of glory. He is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a risen King. We don't serve a dead God. Amen. We don't serve the earth. We don't serve the universe. Hallelujah. But we serve the King of glory, and He deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the power, all the majesty. He deserves our praise because He lives. Amen. And He saved us. He saved us. I know we want a lot of stuff in this life, but if you're saved today, I need you to know that you have received the greatest miracle that ever could be. And that's the fact that as you trust Him, He promises that when this life is over, that we're going to see Him in glory. Amen. We're going to see Him in all His splendor, all His majesty, and all His goodness. And guess what? He's going to answer some questions. Hallelujah. He said He's going to wipe every tear away. Sometimes we forget about heaven. Amen. Sometimes we forget about the fact that this is but a temporary place. Right? The Bible says we're just passing through. Right? We can be inundated by life, by all the things that are going on, by the pursuit of success and the misery of pain. And we can forget that this is not our home. This is not forever. Amen. And so I am thankful that we have received hope. He's called hope. Amen. He's called the Prince of Peace. And while He will give you all those things now, guess what? He's going to give them to you for eternity in heaven. Amen. So we can rejoice in the fact that our faith is sure, even when we mess up. Amen. That's the good thing about it, is that we don't serve a God that requires our sacrifice, right? He doesn't require us, right, to pay for what we could never pay for, right? That's why Jesus came, to pay the ultimate price so that we may live. Amen. So that we might have life and life more abundantly. Amen. And so that's good news. That's why it's called the gospel, because we have good news. We have a hope. We have something to look forward to. And so today, if your hope is low, if your peace is low, if your joy is low, before I even preach, I need you to know it's going to be okay. Not because I said it, but because He said it. Amen. And so I trust Him. How about you? Do you trust His plan for your life? Do you trust Him for your future? Well, I am so excited today to talk just a little bit about God's word. Amen. To share with you what God has shared with me. You know, I love to preach and teach and all those good things. And so if you'll turn to Genesis 22 and 14, that's where I'm going to start. Amen. The young people are going to go out. All the youth, you can go on back with Portia and Josiah. Amen. We thank God for our young people and our youth ministry, that they can receive teaching that's applicable to them. I can't say the word. All the word is always applicable, but it's good to be able for them to talk and discuss the word. Amen. So Genesis 22 and 14. And it says this. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Amen. I want to read that again. So Abraham called the name of that place. Remember that term, that place. "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So if I was to call this message or the subject, a title, whatever you want to call it, I would call it that place. Amen. That place. So in our Christian journey, we will experience places of testing. Can you agree? Any of y'all been tested? Any of y'all been tried? Any of y'all had some trouble? Some issues? You know, last week I talked about comfort, and I said two things that are guaranteed are trouble, and we can all attest to that, and comfort. Amen. And so testing is going to come, and we have to be ready and prepared to the best of our ability. How many of y'all have experienced some testing that you wish you could withdraw from? Amen. Some testing that you wish had never happened, that you didn't get involved with, that you didn't ask for, that you wish didn't come your way. We've all been there, right? Life happens. Life is uncontrollable at times. And that is the place, that place where we can be. Amen. That place is where we're all at right now, or will be at some point in time, or have been, is that place. And so this is a very common passage, and it is where we get one of the redemptive names of God, and that is Jehovah Jireh, right? So we know the famous song Jireh, right, by Chandler Moore, and he got nominated and all that stuff, and it's a wonderful song. I was listening to it yesterday, and I think it had 30 million views on YouTube when I was looking yesterday and just playing it on the TV. And so we know that Jireh means provider. It means provision. And Jehovah just simply means God. It means Lord, Master, whatever you want to say, but it is one of the redemptive names. He is called Jehovah, and it literally means God. So in context, this scripture points to the journey of the patriarchs. So this is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? They are our spiritual ancestors. They are the founders and who God entrusted that his chosen people, the Israelites, the Jews, all those things like that would all descend from Abraham. And so along different points and journeys in their life, they found themselves in that place. Amen. That place, and this place, and the next place, and the next place in their journey, right, of faith. And so whenever they encountered something that was one of those that place moments, amen, one of those ones that test your faith beyond just normal, like you're driving in traffic and you're tested in that place to cuss them out, that's not really the place I'm talking about. I'm talking about the, you know, that is a place, right? That is a place. We can get to that place, right? But we know that God can be our provider even in those places, but there are some things that come in our life that test us, amen, that bring us to a breaking point. And so Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and many of the patriarchs found themselves in these places. And so when they experienced these tough times, they memorialized it, right? They actually set up altars. And Genesis 22 and 14 talks about the place that Abraham had found after the request was made for him to sacrifice his son, right? And so we see here that it says, and he called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, right? So I'm gonna go ahead and give you the end of the story, right? The Lord will provide. Amen. In every situation and every circumstance, the Lord is faithful. He is consistent, and he doesn't change. Amen. And so we see here that this memorial, so we don't we don't set up altars anymore, right? We don't have to sacrifice. We have to do all those things. But you can imagine there's a bookmark in your life, right? Or a flag or a memorial or something, right? There are things, if I was to ask you to chronicle your life and very important places and times and things that happen in your life, you would have bookmarked some things that happen in your life, right? We all have things that have gone on, people that we've lost, children were born, married, you know, divorced, like all these things, whether good or bad, we have these places, right? And so we see that it was very important that when these patriarchs were in this place, that they gave God the glory. They gave God the honor. They praised God, not for what they went through, but for who he became to them, right? For what, they didn't, Abraham didn't name this the place of pain, right? He didn't name this the place of testing. He named this Jehovah Jireh. God will provide in that place. Amen. So I want you to be encouraged today that God is our provider. Amen. That he will sustain us. He will keep us in every way. So I wanted to go ahead and give you the good part. There's lots of good parts. But we're going to talk just a little bit about the story and examine what it is that God wants to say even further. So Genesis 22:1, I want to read the story. Everyone may be familiar with it, but I think it's important that we read it because there's so much more to it. We know the story. Many of us have read it and reread it and heard it preached and all those things. And so as I was studying and seen some different things and read some different things, and so I think it's important that we see much further than even the testing. Amen. So Genesis 22, starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass that after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of the young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to that place which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac, the son, spoke to Abraham and his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. And then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together and they came to the place of which God told him. And Abraham built an altar and there placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hands on the lad or do anything for him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place, the Lord will provide. As it is this day, the mount of the Lord shall be provided. Amen. So we know this story and we're familiar with it. But I have three categories, three topics that I want to talk about. One is the place of testing. Amen. The place of faith and the place of provision. So I believe the place of testing is where we are all right where we are all at right now. And when you look at the text, he said something very important. It says God tested Abraham, right? So this wasn't just your ordinary humdrum, just average test, right? He was laying something to Abraham. And so when I think of this, I think of that place that Abraham was in, a place, right? And many of us are in that place, then we're faced with problems, with situations, right? With doubts, with struggles, right? With entanglements, right? If I was to label what Abraham is going through right now, it would kind of be like this. You know, the relationship statuses on Facebook, it would be called complicated, right? Complicated. And y'all ever been in anything complicated? Right, a complicated relationship, right? It's interesting that they put that as married, single, and complicated, huh? It's like, all right, complicated. Well, we know what complicated entails, right? It's just messed up, right? Just you're in between. Right. And I believe that that's where Abraham is that he is in between. While the scriptures do not give us a glimpse into anything that Abraham said outside of "I'll go, I'll do." But I'm sure inside Abraham was still a man. He was not God. He was not Jesus. But it showed that Abraham had a level of faith that many of us should aspire to have. You'd be like, well, I don't want to kill my kids. Well, no, God's not asking that, right? And if he does, please come talk to us. Please, please, please. So we just go ahead and clarify this and all this stuff. God is not speaking like this anymore, in no point, in no way, at no time, right? So Abraham was a special man, right? He was a special man that walked with God and talked with God, because I don't know when the last time that God said, Don, and you said, yes, Lord, right? So there were many interactions that God and Abraham had, seemingly face to face, right? Because God's just like, hey, Monique. And you're like, here I am, Lord. It's like, we may do that in our spirit, like, I feel you, Lord. I feel an impression. But here it says that they had a dialogue, right? So again, if you feel like the Lord is saying for you to sacrifice your kid, please come talk to us. Because the police will soon be after you. And we want to get you some help. We want, because the Lord is not, will not, I can tell you emphatically, without doubt, that this is not something you're going to follow. Amen. And make it out, right? You're going to go to prison. Just going to tell you right now. All right. Anyways, all jokes aside. But you got to clarify that, because, you know, the thing is that we can see these things in scriptures and we can be like, oh, yeah, like this is the ultimate of me obeying God. God is not saying this anymore, right? He has no need for this. And as I was thinking about this and all that stuff, and it's like, you know, this was done for what? For our record, right? For us to see the struggle, right? To see what and how God is, right? Even the prophetic implications, which there are a lot, and I'll talk about that in the provision. But we see here, again, this would be called complicated. And what I sense is that you are trying to believe God through the good, but also through the bad, right? In your situation, you know, you may be trying to believe God to walk in your call, but you also may be believing God to press deny when they call, right? Testing, right? Testing. Believing God to, in your finances, right, to keep trusting him in giving, right, or keep it in your pocket, right, and make you feel better, right? These are places of testing, right? How about your marriage, right? You keep going, you keep trusting God, or you decide you're going to hop out, right? You're like, oh, no, nobody's going, no, it could be. I don't know where you're at, but the thing is that we can be faced with the good. Sometimes in church, we only talk about the good, right? Like, trust your call. And, you know, are you struggling to find your call? Are you struggling to pray? And like, yeah, we can be doing that, but we're also struggling to not do some other stuff, right? We're also struggling to not doubt, right? We're struggling to show up, right? We're struggling to believe in the circumstance and in the place. So I'm not going to act like that we all are just struggling in all the wonderful and good things, which I believe that we are. Right. There are many facets to us. And so just because you may be struggling in an area of sin, that doesn't disqualify you. You may be struggling in your faith. You may be struggling to even believe. Is all this really worth it? Right. As believers, we're going to find ourselves at that place. Right. That place that we either God speaks to us. Right. Or we feel like we're going to give up, right? We can be at those places of intense testing, trouble on every side, things going wrong, kids going wrong, finances going wrong, job going wrong. And it seems like hit after hit after hit after hit. These things are things that we can absolutely experience. You may say, well, I'm not going through that right now. And I'll say, amen. Just hold on. Just take it in, right? Put it in your savings account, right? Learn what you can because life happens, right? Testing and trouble is going to come. But the one thing, again, we have to remember is that God is faithful. He is our provider, even in the bad. You know that? You know, God promises to keep you even when you make mistakes. He promises to be your strength even when you mess up. That's the beautiful thing about it, is that he's not just giving you strength to pray. He's giving you strength to not sin as well, right? He's giving you strength to believe when you feel like your faith is wavering, right? Many of the disciples, who was it? I believe it was Peter. He said that I pray that you not be sifted. Right? He knew that Peter was ready to give up. He was ready to run. He was fearful. So you can find yourself in places where you don't understand why certain things happen and how God allowed it. Right? Can we be honest? And how God allowed it. Right? That's real. And a lot of times, like, well, we don't want to question God. Why not? Pastor Daisy says all the time, he's the one that's got the answers. Why ain't you going to ask God some questions? You know, that's I don't know what the word is. It's like a protection mechanism, right? Like, don't question God. Don't question God. Well, God is all knowing, all seeing. And so he's the one that has the answer. So ask the questions. There's some questions I can't answer. Some things I can't tell you why that happened, why this happened. I can't understand it theologically or from a biblical standpoint outside of God's ways are not our ways. We don't always have answers. But the one that does have the answer promises to provide. And he says some things you won't know till you get to heaven. Right? But going back to this. So we see here that we can find ourselves in some places. Right? We can find ourselves wanting. We can find ourselves in some strange places, some difficult places. And so imagine if Abraham, if he had Facebook way back, right? And Abraham decided to post something. He said, guess what, y'all? The Lord done told me to sacrifice my son. So, you know, everybody knows the story. Abraham, Sarah, you know, they both old. They believe in God for the baby. You know, Abraham done messed up. He done did it his way, right? He done slept with the servant. Now they got Ishmael. So, you know, Facebook knows the whole story. They know all the details, all the stuff. Why? Because Abraham done posted it, right? Don't nobody know about your stuff unless you post it. And then you get mad when they talk about your stuff. Amen. But anyways, Abraham decides to post. And he says, guess what? The Lord wants me to sacrifice my only son. Uh-oh, here comes the comments, right? The comment section. I always loved the one with Michael Jackson and the popcorn talking about I'm just here for the comments, right? Just Michael Jackson eating the popcorn. So we see here, what do people begin to say? They like, oh, like what? God just gave you that son. Oh, he wants you to kill your son. What is wrong with God? So we see here that you can have all the doubters and all the haters when God wants you to obey, right? When you find yourself in extreme circumstances, it's not wise to talk to the unspiritual, the ungodly, because typically their advice is going to be unfruitful, unhelpful, and in no way going to lead you back to God. But you know, that's where we go, though. You won't call the pastors, right? We'll call friends. We'll call everyone else in extreme times of testing. Why is that? I believe it is most of the time because you don't want our answer, right? You don't want a spiritual answer. You want an answer that will appease your flesh. Isn't that right? If we be honest, like, no, I just don't want to bother the pastors. I'm not sure. And so I say this because we will seek advice from those that will give us the answers that we want. Isn't that right? Yes, absolutely. And we're not the only ones. There are plenty of spiritual people here, spiritual people outside of here that you can gain wisdom from. But there will come points in your life where God will ask you to trust him in unusual places, in difficult places, just like Abraham has now been asked to sacrifice his son. And does it make sense? No, absolutely not. Has God ever asked you to do some things that didn't make sense? Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, to trust him when you cannot see. Trust him when it doesn't make sense. Trust him in your finances, but he's still telling you to give. And it's like, well, Lord, I don't have enough. But he said, Lord, trust me. Right? He said, but God, I don't have enough. It's like, trust me. Right? How about your kids? It's like, instead of beating them half to death, yelling and screaming at them, he tells you to pray for them, to love them, right? To protect them, to help them as they're going through. And I know sometimes they do need the rod, right? They need all that. They need the yelling. They need that. But in that time when they're really, right, when you're in that place, and God says, don't do none of that. Stop and pray. Right? Your flesh is like, oh, no. Let me warm these hands up on these kids. Or how about your husband or wife? Right? Hopefully we don't warm your hands up on neither one. Neither one of y'all. Don't be in there fighting, hitting, man or woman. Right? Keep your hands to yourself. Amen. But you feel like it, right? But what does God tell you to do? But pray. Continue to submit one to another. Continue to love. Continue to talk, even though you're mad at him. Right? God will ask you during some of the most difficult times to trust him, to trust his way. Right? When people are sick, right? And it's like it just keeps getting worse and you keep getting bad news and things keep happening and stuff keeps going on and people keep passing away. And God says, trust me. Trust me. Right? That place of intense testing. Right? We have to remember something that's so important is that we have to remember the faithfulness of God. Right? And so at times we will find ourselves at places where we don't know which way to go, don't know what's going to happen, what's going on. It's like the kids, the job, the money, the world. It's like, what's going on? We got crazy, we got bombs, we got war, we got all these bad things. And sometimes these things can affect us. But God says, trust me. And in that moment, how many of y'all can agree it's difficult in that moment to trust God? To see any good. But this is the way I need you to look at it. Is that in those times, those are times when you have to look back. Right? So God constantly tells us to look forward, to forget the past and all that stuff. But in this case, when it's hard for you to believe that God is good in those circumstances, he says you got to look back. Look back at what? His faithfulness to you. Not just to Abraham. Because it's like, well, Abraham was special. He was, but not really. He was just a man. But God's faithfulness to you. Can you look back? I'm talking to every single person. Can you look back when you were in one of those places before and see that God was faithful? That God brought you through. That God kept you. That he saved you. He changed you. He kept your mind. There's plenty of places I can look back and I can say thank you. I can say thank you, God, for keeping me. I thank you for keeping me in all your ways. I can look and see where God, where I didn't know there are certain things, you know, as you're young and you're going through life and all those things, you know, we say those things. If this ever happened, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Right. And I can remember one of those things and as vividly as if it happened yesterday. We were driving to Pigeon Forge and I was telling Daisy, it was just me and her, so it must have been our anniversary or something like that. I was like, I don't know what would happen. I don't know what I would do if my father passed away. And I believe this was before he was even sick. Me and my dad were really close. Like we and my brother, we always went to work with them, like all those things like that. And so as my dad began to get sick, I was like, oh, no. What's happening? Right? I'm in my 30s and my dad is creeping away. Right? And I'm like, I remember that conversation. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it if he passes away. And so all those things and that being a place for me, right, of intense trial, tribulation. It was a 5-year thing. Right. So it wasn't just he got sick and then he passed away in a year. It was 5 years of going down and finally passing away. But the thing that surprised me more than anything was that after it happened, I was so surprised that I fell apart. Of course, I was sad. Of course, I mean, it was over 2.5 years before I could even talk about my dad. Right. Like there was no conversation. Right. I wasn't talking about it. Wasn't preaching. Wasn't somebody ask. I'd be like, he just passed away. That's it. Right. So it was intense in the loss. But I can remember in the midst of it, God being faithful to keep me. I was actually very surprised that I hadn't just flipped completely out and be like, I'm done. Like, I'm through. Like, I can't take this no more. I ain't doing no more. I'm not living life. I'm just going to sleep. I'm just going to whatever. And so I don't boast on anything me because I don't know how he kept me. Right? I don't know how him being peace that passeth understanding. Right? So I need you to know today that whatever you're facing, whether big or small, that he is your provision, right? He is your peace. He is your hope if you'll trust him, right? If you'll trust him. And I know at times you may not trust him in the midst of it. And guess what? It wasn't like, of course I prayed. I'm like, God, don't take him. God, heal him. God, I've seen you heal other people. I've seen you use me to heal people. And it's like, why all those questions? But even with that, God still kept me. Right. He still sustained me. And so I tell you this to say that it's possible, right, for you to call that place Jehovah Jireh. Right. When I look back, whenever I get in hard times, whenever I find myself struggling, I look back and I remember that he was faithful back then. Right. And so if he can be faithful back then, why can't he be faithful right now? Right. And so that's what I need you to remember. I need you to take a moment right now and think about if you're in a place where you're really struggling, where you're really going through. I need you to look back at some difficult times because our memory is so short. Right. We go through life and it's like thing after thing after thing after thing. But, you know, we say all the time, when I look back over my life. Right. And I think things over, I can truly say, right, I can truly say. And so I want you to understand that the reason why Abraham could do this, right? The reason why he could even consider is that he knew the faithfulness of God, and that no matter what God asked me to go through, that he knew that God was going to keep his son. He knew. Abraham walked in faith. He said, me and the boy will be back. Right? He said, me and the boy will be back. He knew. He knew. How did he know? Because he knew God. Right? He knew God's faithfulness. He didn't know how it was all going to work out. Guess what? He didn't even know what he was going to do. But all he knew is that I must obey God. I must obey him at all costs. I must obey him even to my own detriment, even to my own flesh dying. I'm going to trust him when it doesn't make sense. But what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Right now, you're not going to see the end, right? You're not going to see how it's going to work out. But if you think about that place before, you didn't know how it was going to work out. You didn't know how you were going to get through. You didn't know how you were going to pay the bills. You didn't know how this sickness was going to end. But God in his faithful self, God in his faithful self says, I'm big enough. I'm strong enough. I'm mighty. I am powerful. If you will trust me. If you will trust me. It is amazing, because when I was studying this and I hadn't seen this scripture before as it related to Abraham's faith. So this is in Hebrews, this is in the New Testament. So this was prophetic in their insight into Abraham. Hebrews 11 and 19 says, he considered that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. That verse is contributed to Abraham being willing to sacrifice Isaac because he knew that he would raise him from the dead if he had to kill him. Right? He knew God. He knew God's power. And here's the thing about Abraham. There was no scriptures. The Bible had been made. The Bible is being written, right? So Abraham didn't have no scriptures. He didn't have no Old Testament. He didn't have the law. All that came with Moses, which were hundreds of years later. Abraham knew God. He had been in God's presence. He had spoke to God, right? And so it is vitally important that we understand how good God is, right? How faithful God is, that we trust him based on his character. We trust him based on his track record. We base it on the fact that we know that even if this doesn't work out, God has something else for me. Right? So you think about the three Hebrew boys, right? What did they say? Even if we got in there and burned up, I knew that he still could. Yes, God. Right? That's the place, right? That's the place that God wants us, that even if we go through and it doesn't work out the way we want, he could have. Right? He could have. Right? And be like, well, what kind of God do we serve? We serve a good God, right? We serve a good God that is not subject to our human interpretation, right? His ways are not our ways. When God is working things out for our good, it's never going to make sense, right? It's never going to make sense, because part of it is you getting to know him through the process. If it worked out the way you planned it, you don't need to trust him, right? We don't need to trust him through the process if it's always going to work out the way we mapped it out, the way we planned it out. God's ways are different, right? But he says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, the plans I have for you are good, and not of evil. They can look like evil, right? A lot of people talk about this verse, and they talk about, how could God ask you to kill your son, right? What kind of God are you serving? All these things, and you know, these people are unsaved, right? And even sometimes people can be saved, but they don't understand the context in which it goes. And so if you look at everything that is done for a reason. Everything that's done points to Jesus, right? This is the provision, right? God being Jehovah Jireh. If you look at a couple key verses there, you see, number one, that they were both sons. So even in the Old Testament, even if in Genesis 22, all of this pointed to Jesus and what Jesus would do and how Jesus would live, how he would sacrifice, right? So Isaac was the promised son, right? What was Jesus? The promised son, right? And so you keep going and you see both were born in miraculous circumstances, right? And I hadn't seen this. As I read this and studied this, it's like they both carried wood on their backs. Right? Abraham gave the wood to Isaac and he said, let's go on up the mount. Right? We know Jesus had to go up to the mount, right? He had to go up to the cross. Right? The wood was instrumental in their deaths. Right? Wow. It all points back to Jesus. How about both their fathers led them up a mountain, right? All right. How about in both scenarios, God provided the sacrificial substitution, right? Which Abraham would say a ram, but you know what a ram is? It's a male lamb, right? So we see here that it all points back to him. And so what did it really mean, right? So what happened was Isaac was really us, right? Woo! Isaac was really us.
Thank you, God.
And who did Abraham sacrifice? But the lamb, the ram, the male lamb, right? And so we see here that God has always been providing. He has always been providing since the beginning. Right. God set this up. Right. None of this is by happenstance or by chance. God set this up. And so if you understand that, if you'll just trust him in that place, it's going to be all right. Right. If you'll trust him, I know you've trusted him before and it seems like it didn't work out, but I need you to trust him in that place that he didn't sacrifice us. He didn't sacrifice Isaac. He didn't sacrifice you. If he didn't sacrifice you,
yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
He's going to provide for you. Why wasn't Isaac sacrificed? Because he was the promise, right? He was the promise to fulfill generation after generation after generation. So I need you to understand that God has your life under control. He has it under control. And I know it doesn't make sense, but the provision is there, right? The provision is there. God has already made a way. He says, I'll make every crooked place straight. But we just got to trust him. We just got to believe, even when we don't understand. God, why would you want me to not do this? God, why would you want me to trust you in this? God, my enemies are overtaking me. Why do you want me to pray for them? Why do you want me to be the bigger person, right? To do the right thing, to say the right thing. He says, trust me. Trust me. Because he says, well, I'm going to make your enemies. I mean, I got some enemies, right? That you're being tested, right? He said, I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. I'm going to place you at a table with them, and they're going to see you blessed, right? They're going to see you overcoming. They're going to see you in all the splendor and all the glory. God promises to be our provision. He promises to be what we need him to be in every place in your life. Can I get you to understand that? In every circumstance, in every situation, he is going to be faithful. He is going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to bring you out. He's going to be faithful to keep you. He's going to be faithful to elevate you. He's going to be faithful in every way. He just needs you to trust him. Just trust him. Even when it's strange, when it's unusual, when it's difficult, when it don't make no sense, he says, trust me, because I am Jehovah Jireh. Right? The one who provides. I am Jehovah Jireh. In that place, and I'm done. In that place, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. It shall be provided. Can we stand? It shall be provided. It shall be provided. I need you to say it. It shall be provided. It shall be provided. So when you're going through, you need to say, it shall be provided. The God of all wisdom, all knowledge, all power, all splendor, he is able to keep you. So the thing is that he promises to give you the strength. He promises to provide for you. He just says, I just need you to trust me. With a mustard seed of faith today, a mustard seed, you know, it's about as big as the tip of this pencil. He says, if you got that much faith, just a dot. He says, you're going to be all right. And guess what? This is how good God is. He says that even if you don't have no faith today, he said, ask me. Ask me. Ask me for some more faith. He said, ask me. He says, and I'll give it to you. I gave every man. He gave us enough faith to believe him. As our Savior. So today, he's saying, I will provide. I will provide. He is our provider. He is our keeper. He is the ram in the bush. Right? Along the way, are you speaking faith? It's going to be all right. We're going to come back to this place, Isaac. Don't worry about it. Me and the son are coming back. He didn't know how the end would be. I need you to speak faith over your situation. I need you to say, at the very least, it's going to be all right. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to come out. I'm going to be at peace. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to walk in peace. My marriage is going to last. My kids are going to be fruitful. My kids are going to be blessed. We are going to be successful. My children, my husband will be saved. My wife will be saved. Faith along the way. I know you don't know the process, but are you willing to speak faith? Are you willing to trust God in this place? As we listen to this song, that he's more than enough for the thing that you're going through, for what you're struggling with, what you're having trouble believing, what you don't know, you don't understand. He's Jireh. You can turn it up, Terry. So take a moment and allow the Lord to minister to you. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't wanna forget how I feel right now on the
mountains are, I can see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side when the sun goes.